Hi, and welcome back to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott. In the studio with me now, two lovely ladies to speak with me about a special promotion that's going on involving our furry friends for the month of July. That's Wendy Goldband, who's here from the Baltimore Humane Society, and then Tina Register from the Maryland SPCA. Thank you so much for coming in to talk with me.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
So I'm going to start with you, Tina, since you're the person who reached out to me first about this. There is, as I mentioned, a promotion going on involving a lot of area animal shelters, in fact, for the month of July. Can you tell me what that is and what it involves?
Sure. The Maryland 2000, it's a month-long adoption promotion where 21 animal shelters in Maryland are waiving adoption fees for all of their adult cats and kittens in hopes of finding homes for at least 2,000 of them this month.
And is there any particular number for the, or any particular reason for the number 2,000?
Well, we came about, well, first of all, to kind of step back a little bit, this time of year is known as kitten season. So it's when all female cats that are getting pregnant are having their kittens. So all of our shelters are so full of kittens and even adult cats as well. So and during the summers, we want to be able to try to find homes for as many as we can because there are just so many more that are that need our help to be able to take in. So years ago, the Maryland SPCA, Baltimore Humane Society, Barks, and Baltimore County Animal Services, we came together and we had this event and we called it the Baltimore 500. So we're all Baltimore shelters and we thought, okay, let's work together during the summer for 1 month and find homes for 500 cats and kittens. Well, every year we found homes for more than 500, and everyone's just so excited to be able to adopt a cat and kitten during the summer season during this promotion. So we thought, you know what? It's not just a Baltimore issue. It's an issue all throughout Maryland at all of these shelters. So we all got together, and we reached out to other shelters in Maryland. So instead, we're calling it the Maryland 2000 in hopes of trying to find homes for 2,000. And last year, we surpassed that number, so we're hoping this year we'll do even more adoption.
And, you know, adopting a pet as opposed to going to a breeder and getting one, especially a cat. Like, my family has several cats. They are not from shelters, but they're all from a farm where if we hadn't taken them in, that would have been the next step in their path to finding a home. Can you tell me a little bit, Wendy, about why people should take advantage of shelters and the resources that they offer as opposed to going out and buying a pet?
Well, of course, we discourage you to go from going to pet stores and buying pets. We feel that there are so many homeless pets that are out there already that you're doing a disservice by not going to a shelter and finding one that is already ready for adoption and needing that. We won't get into the whole breeding dilemma.
But, separate topic.
Yeah. But when you go to a shelter, what you're going to find are animals of all different ages, different sizes, different breeds, mixed breeds, purebreds. There's nothing wrong with the animals at shelters, which is sometimes a very big misconception. People think that, oh, I'm going to go to a shelter, I'm going to get some dog or cat that's got problems or issues or is bad or wasn't trained properly, and that's not the case. So you will find a wonderful pet at a shelter, and in addition, those pets have all been vetted, so to speak, really. There are true veterinarians that medically check each of these animals, make sure they're healthy. If they're not, we treat them. We will get them all spayed or neutered. They'll be vaccinated. And at least at Baltimore Humane Society, I'm not sure at all the shelters, we even microchip the pet. So when you are adopting one of these pets, you're getting an animal that's, you know, is already ready to go, is healthy, oftentimes been working with a trainer, may have had some nice training that's come along with this pet to begin with as well. So you're set. You're set to go, and you find yourself with a loving pet. And one of the things a lot of people will say is that, you know, when I rescued my dog or my cat, I could tell they knew. They knew I rescued them, and the love from them was just amazing.
And, you know, speaking from some personal experience as well, that's something that I've noticed with my family's cats is I think because, you know, they came from a more rough environment before they got to our house, they, I don't know whether I'm reading into it or whether they actually feel this way, but they seem to be more appreciative of the fact that now they have a home to be in. And if you're getting a pet from a shelter, as you mentioned, you're making sure that they're ready to go. You're getting a head start for the best pet to human relationship possible. And you're also making sure that the safety of both yourself, your other family members, and even your other pets are already Guaranteed.
That's right. In fact, one of the things that, you know, the shelters will do mm-hmm. is they assess the behavior of the animals. So mm-hmm. is this a cat that's shy? Is this a cat that's social? Does it like other cats? You can pretty much know, not always, there's never a guarantee,
right.
but we can really assess a lot of their personalities and let you know. So when you come, you tell the adoption counselor, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is my family situation. This is my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Which of these pets will fit for me? And we do our best at a shelter to try and connect you with the pet that will work best for your lifestyle.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between the different types of shelters, because there are some that are involved in actually going out and helping, you know, bring in the stray cats or the ones who are in need of care, and others that are merely responsible. I say merely. They're the shelters that are responsible primarily for the care of those pets. Tina, can you tell me about the two different types of shelters and what the differences and similarities may be?
So some shelters can be affiliated with animal control.
Okay.
So what that means is, suppose you find a litter of kittens mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't know what to do with them. You want to get on the phone and you want to call a shelter and say, hey, I have these litters of kittens. They look mm-hmm. like they're hungry. Can you please come pick them up? Some shelters, if they work with animal control, if they have that contract, animal control can then go and pick up those pets and mm-hmm. bring them back. Well, then they need a shelter to be cared for. So the shelter that's affiliated with animal control will mm-hmm. then care for those pets and then be able to find them homes. Other shelters, so Maryland SPCA and Baltimore County, were nonprofit organizations. So we, if someone called us and say, come pick up those kittens, we can't do so. Mm-hmm. But what we do have some different opportunities that we are able to do, because we take in pets when people call and say, you know, I unfortunately need to surrender my pet, mm-hmm. Or if someone finds a pet and they bring it to us so we can help find the owners. But what we're also able to do is we're mm-hmm. able to go to the shelters that are part of animal control and those that have to take in all the pets. They're generally very overcrowded. So
right.
we can go and reach out to them and say, hey, you know, what are your needs? Who do you need help with this finding homes for? So if it's kittens 1 week or dogs or sometimes mm-hmm. a mixture, we're able to do so. So we kind of like to say it's almost like the donut effect, since we're Maryland SPCA, but we're located mm-hmm. in Baltimore City. So we'll first reach out to our sister shelter, Barks, and say, you know, what are your needs? Because they are affiliated with animal control and take in all pets. And if they're looking good that week, then, you know, then we kind of go out with that donut effect into Baltimore County. Their shelters, Baltimore County Animal Services, they're looking good. Then we go Harford County and then so forth. And then there are times that we're helping shelters all across the state. So that's a little bit different, but it's just, so it's really whether or not shelters that have to take in all pets that come in versus the mm-hmm. people that make an appointment and see if we have room to take in those pets.
It's actually against the law for mm-hmm. us in Baltimore County to take a stray. So when somebody calls mm-hmm. us and says, hey, I've got this dog or this
right.
cat that's running around, can you pick it up? We have to tell them, no, we cannot. You have to call animal control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times people will actually drop a pet off to us that was a stray.
Mm-hmm.
We call animal control or animal services.
Okay.
They will come and pick the pet up, but it's not unusual for them to mm-hmm. then bring the pet back to us for us
right.
to put it up to for adoption, because we think we can get it adopted quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I know for us, and I'm sure the Maryland SPCA as well, we've transferred in hundreds and hundreds of animals from mm-hmm. the municipal shelters around the state and really mm-hmm. up and down the East Coast. So when we have space, we say, hey, who needs our help? We can bring
right.
these animals in here, and we leave those crowded cages in the animal shelters,
and
in
so,
the animal control shelters.
And so the end result is essentially the same. The pet
yes.
ends up at a shelter ready to be adopted by a loving family, but you have to take, with strays at least, that extra step of going through animal control to ensure that the animal is not going to be a danger to the other pets in the shelter. And then once it gets to the shelter, that's when you get it ready to go out for adoption.
More or less, yes. Yeah.
One other question I had, because I understand there's something of a misconception about how the Humane Society of the United States interacts with all of these shelters. All these shelters are, at least to my knowledge, you know, you're all partnering together for this month of 2,000 adoptions, but you operate somewhat independently from each other. Is that correct?
Well, yes. So all shelters, we do work independently in terms of fundraising. So, for example, mm-hmm. The Maryland SPCA, we are an SPCA, but we're not part of the ASPCA. They're a shelter in New York City, and they do some advocacy groups, some work, and they advocate for animals across the country. But they're not like a national. And the same goes for humane societies. There is the Humane Society of the United States. They're not an animal shelter, but they're an organization that advocate for animals. So if you make a donation, say, to the ASPCA or the Humane Society of the United States, it's not going down to other shelters. And then even in the state of Maryland, we're all independent. We work together, and right now for the month of July, that goal is to be able to find homes for as many cats and kittens as possible. Doesn't make a difference which shelter you come to, just come in and adopt. But when it comes to like fundraising and so forth, then we are all independent of each other.
One of the things that I like to tell people is, you know, when you make a donation, think about how you want your money spent. You may very well want to donate to the national societies, but if you want to see your money go directly to the care of an animal locally in a shelter, then pick a local animal shelter to donate your money. I guarantee you that money is needed and will be spent on the animals.
Right. And we'll talk about some specific ways in which that money is spent in just a moment. But if you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. You're listening to Sunday Morning, and I'm speaking with Wendy Goldband from the Baltimore Humane Society, along with Tina Register from the Maryland SPCA. We're speaking, at least to some part, about the adoption promotion that's going on at the shelters throughout the month of July, looking to adopt 2,000 cats out to loving homes throughout the month. And, you know, those adoptions continuing throughout the year, but the 2,000 mark we really want to hit by July 31st. You know, it's involved sometimes taking care of these pets. They need different things depending on what sort of situation they came from. What does the process look like? We'll start with the SPCA. When a pet comes into the shelter, how do you get it ready for adoption to a loving family?
Well, it depends on how that pet has come through. So if it's come in lost, we then we care for the pet and hold that pet for 3 days and hopes that we can find its adopter. The first thing we always do is try to scan for a microchip if it's not wearing a collar with an ID. So we want to be able to hold that pet for 3 days. And then if that pet, no one comes forward, then we proceed to get that pet ready for adoption. So during those 3 days, we're certainly caring for that pet. But then at that point, we would do like a behavior assessment, do a medical assessment if there's any needs. If the pet's not spay and neutered, we will certainly spay or neuter that pet, making sure they're current on vaccinations and seeing what other any other type of help. Sometimes they come in and they have medical issues, and we need to make sure we take care of those issues so that pet is family ready when we make it available for adoption. So that's one way. If a pet comes in and we have to hold the pet, and then other times, sometimes folks, they just for whatever reason they cannot care for their pet. So what we first want to be able to do is there something we can do to help you keep your pet? So the last thing any of our shelters want is for someone that loves their pet to have to surrender it. So there are programs available. Perhaps it's something behavior-wise that maybe one of our behavior experts can help them with, or perhaps it's food, or perhaps it's also maybe they have some medical issues with their pet and they can't afford medical care. Then we'll ask them if they would like to be seen at our wellness clinic, and that's all. And we have a program that is income-based, or maybe also, maybe their pet, they need to get spay and neutered and they just can't afford that. And then we want to be able to help them. So that we want, that's the best thing that we want to be able to do is help keep the pet in the home. But there are instances when the pet can't. Sometimes a family member is sick or passes away, and then the family has to find a home for the pet. And then we want to make sure we're here for that pet, take it in, love it, provide it all of the comfort and care until we're able to find it a loving home.
And so, Wendy, does the process look any different at the Baltimore Humane Society, or is it a lot of the same sort of
It's fairly steps? Much the same, yeah. I mean, basically, when an animal comes into us, when it's surrendered to us, we do a full medical exam. If it hasn't been spayed or neutered, we will go ahead and do that. We will give it its vaccinations, and we will give it a microchip. So that's those are like the first things that we do. If there is something medically wrong with the animal, then we will find the medical care that it needs. It often requires a big fundraiser. Some of these dogs, especially who, you know, have like hip problems or knee problems, it's thousands and thousands of dollars to take care of just that one pet. Plus, they really shouldn't be in the shelter during the healing process. So you've got to try and find a foster for them to stay with during the whole medical process, the whole treatment. So that can be a bit of a challenge. And sometimes we actually have to delay the treatment until we can find that foster family. But basically, yeah, we take care of them medically, get them set, ready to go. We have a trainer take a look at them and make sure that everything's copacetic with their training. Do they need help? Do they have issues? What are we working with here? And then when we feel they're ready for a family, then we put them up for adoption.
And you mentioned foster families for pets just a minute ago. That's obviously one way that people can get involved with the work that the shelter does. Can you tell me about some of the other ways that people may get involved with helping the shelters out, even outside of just, you know, fundraising? Maybe you don't have, maybe you don't want to adopt a pet, but you want to be near animals, or maybe you don't want to adopt a pet because you have too many, but you still just have a heart for that sort of work. What are some of the different opportunities available at the Humane Society?
Well, I always say there are endless opportunities, because if you have a talent, we can probably use it in one way or another. It's it's unusual that we can't use your ingenuity. But the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is volunteering. We can always use volunteers. All the shelters can always use more hands-on, keeping the animals happy, helping the staff keep things clean, getting the animals fed, walking the dogs, playing with the cats. There's all sorts of opportunities for volunteering, even young children. We have kids who can start volunteering at the age of 12 and up. And if you do not have the time to commit to being like a full-time type volunteer, and for us at the Baltimore Humane Society, we don't have time requirements. But, I mean, they can come and they can read to the animals, which is another really lovely way to connect to an animal and give it some comfort and attention while feeling like you've made a difference.
Right.
But we have a wish list with a million items on the wish list. All the shelters do. Bring us anything on that wish list. We are eternally grateful for that. We can use help with our grounds, even. We're on 365 acres, and we've got a pet cemetery. So we always, always need help keeping our grounds up to date. And we love when corporate groups come for a day of service, because they are really good at helping with things like that. Yeah, I mean, there's just endless varieties. You can work from home doing data input. You can do a peer-to-peer fundraiser online without ever leaving your home. So there's all sorts of things you can do.
So just a moment ago, Tina, Wendy mentioned that every shelter has a wish list. What sort of things would show up on the Maryland SPCA's wish list?
Well, we have an actual wish list on our website, and some of those are very basic. So if you're cleaning out your cupboard and you have your linen closet and you have some old towels, that shelters can always use towels and items like that, sheets and towels, toys for the pets. And then we also have an Amazon wish list that you can go to from our website. And that may be some very specific things. For example, every day is Kong time in the shelter. So around noon, a volunteer walks around with a cart full of Kongs filled with peanut butter and kibble. And let me tell you, the dogs just, that's their favorite part of the day, getting their special little treat. So we put items like that on the wish list for dogs, and even peanut butter. For kittens, it's always, we're always looking for little pom-pom type toys or cat wands for them. So that's always a given. And then we put some items on. We have a foster program where right now that's the most critical for us is seeking foster help. And meaning, and it's really because we have right now over 250 pets that are in foster home. The majority of them right now are young kittens. So either we're looking for people to foster those kittens, but then on the wish list are also some very specific supplies, syringes for them to be able to, the bottle feed. Some of these kittens need to be fed like every 2 hours, and some supplemental formulas for kittens. So those type of items, scales to making sure our foster parents can weigh the young kittens to make sure they're gaining weight.
And this is important as well, which just, again, speaking out of personal experience, if you're feeding a young kitten, or like if you found one on the street and you're taking care of it as well, you do have to get a formula, or I think we may have used goat's milk or something like that, because the same lactose intolerance that people can get from cow's milk will also appear in young kittens. Their digestive systems aren't ready for it. So these are not just, you know, it's not like a boutique thing that the kitten needs in order to have a real cushy life. It legitimately really needs it for its health and in order to develop into a healthy adult cat. We've talked a lot about cats, this again being adoption promotion going on this month. 2,000 cats in the state of Maryland. We've been talking primarily with the Maryland SPCA and Baltimore Humane Society, but this adoption goes on across the state of Maryland and throughout the month. If someone's interested in adopting a pet, what does that process look like? Is there any sort of vetting that goes on the part of the Humane Society of the potential owner, or how does that look? Wendy?
Well, I would say that the adoption process is really very simple and straightforward, and I think it's really the same pretty much for both of us. You come into the shelter, we really feel strongly, I mean, first of all, you can look on the website to see what animals are up for adoption, but then we highly encourage that you come into to the shelters and meet the pets, because you can't judge an animal by its looks. You have in your head, oh, I only want this type of cat or this type of dog. But you come in and you meet it, and it's got a personality that's way beyond anything you ever wanted. So, yeah. But there's another cat or dog sitting right over there in another cage that's perfect for you. So right. Come in, get a chance to actually meet and interact with the pets to help you decide which ones you want.
And you hear those stories all the time of people who go into a shelter, and even if they weren't looking for a specific pet, they're walking down the row of enclosures, and then they see a pet, and they just know immediately, this is the one for me.
Right, right. And then, you know, we have you fill out an application. We do also encourage that the entire family who's going to be living with the pet come to meet it to make sure that everybody is okay with the relationship, because sometimes we'll find if that hadn't happened, there's somebody at home who's not happy or not getting along with the pet, and the pet gets returned, and we don't want to see that, because right. that's hard on everybody. So you fill out an application. Basically, the biggest thing we're looking for is just that you have kept, for animals that you already have at home, kept them medically up to date and with their vaccinations.
Right.
And, you know, there's really very little else that we are looking for. We don't go do home visits. We don't require fences or no fences or, you know, it's really, there may be an individual animal that has certain needs that we'll be very specific about.
Right.
But generally speaking, there are no major requirements. It's very simple to adopt a pet.
And that's it. We don't want it to be a hurdle. So just as Wendy said, I think a lot of times, you know, I'll meet someone on out at an event, and they'll say, oh, you know, I've always wanted to adopt, but I hear it's so hard. I have to have a fence, or they're going to come out and inspect my house. And we don't want it to be. I mean, there's so many thousands, as you know, there's thousands of pets in animal shelters. We don't want to make it a barrier. We just want to find them good homes. So just as Wendy said, it's you know, the process, it's, you know, it's very straightforward. And it's something that I think we hear a lot when people are like, well, when they adopted, they're like, I didn't think it was going to be that easy. But we still want to make sure, you know, that it's a good home.
Right.
But no hurdles are involved.
I think a lot of it is the old school mentality, because it used to be difficult a lot of times in some shelters where they were like asking the sun and the moon and the stars of people. And I think most animal shelters nowadays have realized that is not the way to go. And it didn't really make any difference in the success or failure of the adoption. But I will say that there are independent animal rescues, which are not shelters. They're rescues, and they're more like foster home type situations. A lot of times there are rescues that are much more stringent about who they will adopt out to. And I think people sometimes associate those rules of rescues with animal shelters like Maryland SPCA and Baltimore Humane Society. And that is not true for us at all.
And, you know, again, trying to make the process as easy as possible, because throughout the month of July, if you're adopting a cat, not only are you helping reach that 2,000 mark, but the adoption fee is waived. So, you know, you have no reason not to go in. Is there anything that potential cat or kitten adopters should be thinking about as far as preparing their home before they go and adopt a cat? Or is it just as simple as seeing if there's one that you connect with?
Well, first, I actually did want to share something with you. In addition to waiving the adoption fees, there are also veterinarians in Maryland, a cat hospital at Towson known as CHET. They're our sponsor for it, but we also have veterinarian clinics all across Maryland that are participating. So when you adopt your cat, we always want you to make sure you take it to a veterinarian for a wellness check and as soon as after adopting. So these veterinarians have all come forward, these clinics that are participating, and they're going to give the adopter shelter a certificate to take their cat for a wellness exam. So that's something mm-hmm. that's really important after you get home.
Right.
But prior to adopting, you know the basics that what are the cats need. They're going to mm-hmm. need food. They're going to need bowls for food and water, litter box and litter. But it's mm-hmm. also it's probably wise to also speak to the shelter first, because it mm-hmm. may pets may go on certain diets. We feed our pets a certain type of diet, and they go home with that food. So by knowing a little bit about kind of what type of food the pet is on, or what type of litter, sometimes cats may need a certain type of consistency of litter.
Right.
So it's always good to find that out. But it mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't take a lot. You don't need to spend a lot of money on cat toys, because you know all you need
some yarn.
Yes, you just need yarn, or you can do the tubes of your paper towel holders and anything that you want to put on the on the counter. They could bat around.
I mean, they don't go for any of that. They'll
exactly.
go for your
shoelaces. Or a box. You have a box. They're going to love it. So
one of the things that we do to make sure that it's going to be a successful mm-hmm. adoption too, because especially if you're a new pet owner, but even if you're not, mm-hmm. Maybe you have other pets at home.
Right.
So there's a transition that takes place, mm-hmm. and we give very specific instructions for the first 2 weeks on how to introduce your cat into the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be tricky sometimes with cats. So we're very, very careful as to tell them step by step what they should be doing along the 2 week period. And we found that adopters who take our advice and listen have very successful adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those who don't listen, the adoption did not turn out so well. So it's really important that they follow the steps that we advise.
So we're running out of time, so we have to wrap things up. But before we go, if anyone would like to get in contact with either of the shelters to find out about adoption or volunteering, supporting via donations, anything along those lines, I'll start with Baltimore Humane first. Wendy, what are some of the best ways to get in contact?
Well, first of all, it's always easy to hop on the website, and everything is on that website. Mm-hmm. And our web address is bemorehumane.org, and that's B-M-O-R-E, mm-hmm. humane.org. You can also call and come in. Mm-hmm. We are open every day of the week but Monday from 12 to 6, so mm-hmm. it's really easy to come by.
And then Tina, for the Maryland SPCA?
Our website is mdspca.org, and for anyone that's interested in adopting mm-hmm. from any of our 21 shelters for the month of July, there's a website set up, and that's maryland2000.com.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go to that website, what they're going to find the list of all of the participating shelters in addition mm-hmm. to our two, and also they'll see the list of veterinarian clinics that are participating, and there's also some good resources too in terms mm-hmm. of giving some of that background on how to acclimate a new pet to the home. So it's a great website, mm-hmm. and we encourage everyone to check that out and see who's participating.
Well, Tina, Wendy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Nathan Scott. You've been listening to Sunday Morning, and I've been speaking with Tina Register of the Maryland SPCA and Wendy Goldband from Baltimore Humane Society, Maryland 2000, the adoption promotion going on right now, 2,000 cats adopted by the end of the month of July. The website, maryland2000.com. Help them reach that number. And remember, for the entire month of July, adoption fees are waived, and that's at almost all shelters across the state of Maryland. I'm Nathan Scott. Thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time, have a great day.